Ashley Mack. Good morning, everybody. There's a very interesting thing that we say, Vayichan Sham Israel. What is Rashi saying? I think everybody knows it. What is Rashi saying of Vayichan Sham Israel? Ke'ish echad belev echad. Ke'ish echad belev echad. Do we see it anywhere else, this pronouncement, Ke'ish echad belev echad? What? Mitzrayim? So it's very interesting to see that the parsha before is written exactly the same thing about the Egyptian. And like it's written, here's Rashi saying, Nosea acharehem belev echad ke'ish echad. And it's unbelievable. Wow, the Egyptians are like us. They also can be united like us, like be one. Or maybe there is a small difference. And there is a difference. And this idea, a friend of mine, Phil, talked me about in Shabbos morning. He sent me the whole lecture of this rabbi, but unfortunately I didn't have time to hear the whole thing. But the idea behind it is very interesting. Ke'ish echad belev echad, when you say the Egyptian, it's not ke'ish echad belev echad, it's belev echad ke'ish echad. And there is a difference. What is the difference? What do you think is the difference? If I say ke'ish echad belev echad, what do I mean? Everybody united under the same idea. Ke'ish echad, the same heart, the same. So what is the difference if I say belev echad ke'ish echad? What's the difference? You are close, but the problem is very simple. We put God in the middle. And when you put God in the middle, it means you put Klal Am Israel in the middle. Because somebody who loves God has to love Am Israel. Somebody who loves Am Israel has to love God. It goes together. You cannot separate it. So when we say Am Israel, Vayichan Sham Israel, Ke'ish echad belev echad, like one with one heart. But the culture of the Greek that for Hanukkah we talked about it, the idea is that you put in the center the man. You put yourself in the center and everything is for you. In other words, it's not what you are going to do for the Klal, it's what the Klal is going to do for you. So now, why are the Egyptians deciding to chase Am Yisrael after all the miracles they saw? What is motivating them? What do you think? They want back the money. They loaned not only money, they loaned a lot of stuff to Am Yisrael. They promised them they're going to give it back after 3 days, and then they're gone. And then all the good stuff they've got, all the good cutlery, all the good clothes, everything they gave to the Israelites, and now they're not coming back. So, this is Kelev echad. They all have the same, let's say, desire. They wanted the same thing. But ke'ish echad, like each one by himself. In other words, they were not united as Am Yisrael. In other words, you see it in history all over. You see it also now. When you have mutual interest, you are the best friends. Churchill, I think, used to say it, that the countries, you have no friendly countries. You have countries with mutual interest. The minute the interest is not there, and you can see it with the Second World War, the First World War, the people that were united here, then they were separated. Once they were fighting together, the other, then they were fighting against each other. In other words, what is really uniting them is their own desire, which is the opposite of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, okay, it's a wishly thought that we want Am Yisrael to get to that level, because Rashi himself at the same point says this is the only time that they were ke'ish echad belev echad. All the other parking, when they parked anywhere, it was not exactly the same. And I think I told you before that if you want to see, or let's say get close to this feeling of Am Yisrael ke'ish echad belev echad, you can do it on Shavuos morning on the Kotel. When you go to the Kotel on Shavuos morning, 5 o'clock, I don't know what time it is, normally the streets are empty, but at that time, at certain time, at certain date, you see all the streets are full with people. And by the way, all kinds. You have even non-religious, ultra orthodox, with the kippa sruga, with the black kippa, with the beard, without a beard, and also you have some girls go. So also it's all Am Yisrael, and it's very interesting because it's not a big deal when you see a lot of people in the street, but it's a big deal when you see them going in the same direction. Because normally we go on the street, everybody goes somewhere else. Here you see everybody going in the same direction, and that's a very, it's a very good feeling. And then when you get to the Kotel, and everybody is there, it's very hard to daven there, by the way, because it's almost impossible, because there are so many minyanim that, and each one davens in a certain way. I had from the right side a Yamanite minyan, the left side Sfaradi, and Hasidi on the front, and in the back somebody to Isai, I don't know what. And in the middle, I was standing trying to daven, and it was very hard. But the minute that Anetz came, this is when everybody stops and starting Shmoneh Esra. It was an unbelievable feeling. Suddenly, quiet. And everybody together, ke'ish echad, belev echad. So it is possible. When is it possible? When we stop thinking only about ourselves and we start thinking about the others. By the way, one of the systems to have a kavono in tefillah, when you have strange thoughts coming into your mind, is stop thinking about yourself, think about your fellow man, and then you find out that all the strange thinking are going away. Maybe it's not easy, but this is a system, and this is what we are meant to do normally. And this is why Am Yisrael puts klal, the klal, in the middle. In other words, God is in the middle. And when God is in the middle, when the klal is in the middle, then and only then you can get ke'ish echad, belev echad. Otherwise, it can be belev echad, ke'ish echad. You have the same interest, so you're working together. But the minute the interest is not going to be there, shalom aleichem. Finished. This is an interesting idea that, by the way, we're reading the parsha every year, and we never see this definition between Am Yisrael and the Egyptian when it's written like the same thing is written. It looks like the same. And we go on, and like we, you know, I ask a lot of people, nobody knows that it's written here by the Egyptian, belev echad ke'ish echad. Nobody knows. Nobody, like, they read Rashi and they don't see it. Why? Because automatically it's like our mind works always on something that we know. So we all know, for example, Na'aseh v'nishma. Where is written Na'aseh v'nishma? Did you see in our parasha Na'aseh v'nishma? But everybody talks about Na'aseh v'nishma. But Na'aseh v'nishma is only the next parasha, next week. Yes, exactly. That's what's written. It's not written Na'aseh v'nishma. And everybody is looking for the Na'aseh v'nishma. He doesn't find it. But then when he starts working on the next parasha, then he finds, oh, here is Na'aseh v'nishma. But everybody knows that Na'aseh v'nishma is there. And it's very interesting. Why is Na'aseh v'nishma not in the right place? Why is it written there Na'aseh? And only in our parasha, when we're talking about the Mishpatim, it's Na'aseh v'nishma. Because it's not a big deal to listen. You can listen and listen and listen, and what happens? Comes from here, goes out from there. But what did he do? And by the way, this is also one of the big lessons of our parasha. This parasha, the last parasha, and the parasha we're going to read next week. There are three ways of listening, and we see them. For example, we say in Shirat Hayam every day, Shamu Amim Yirgazun Chil Achaz Yoshvei Plashet Az Nivalu Alofe Edom Elei Moav Yorase Morad Namogu Kol Yoshvei Kna Tipol Alem Emartav Achachat Bigdol Zrocha Yidmu Ka'evin. What did we say? Unbelievable. Everybody got frightened. They couldn't believe what happened in front of their eyes. What did they do? Did they do anything about it? Nothing. Pass from, go from here and from there. This is, we're talking about a big thing. But that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is when we get to Amalek. Amalek hears what happens, and what does he do? He fights against it. And that is unbelievable. You know the truth. You, everybody knows it. And of course you know it also, but you go against it. Now, this is not a story about Amalek. It's a story about us. How many times do we listen to something and we go on with life like we didn't hear it? It comes from here, goes out from there, and we go on with life. And how many times do we do things against the truth? Why? Because we want it. For example, one of the, unfortunately, this morning I read an interesting halacha, and I said personally, I don't know why the halacha is there. You're allowed to smoke, you're not allowed to smoke before you do Netilat Yadayim, Birkot HaShachar. after you do this, you're allowed to smoke. I would change this paragraph and says you're not allowed to smoke, period. That's it. What do you mean? How do you give somebody a permission to smoke when it's deadly? But that's exactly one of the interesting points. You look, I came back from an exhibition in Germany and I opened the pamphlet on the plane of the duty-free. And then the last you see the cigarettes and you have like, not big letters, big letters. Cigarette kills. People stop buying cigarettes? They have 4 or 5 pages of cigarettes there. So people must buy. So it's unbelievable. You know it's not good, and you do it. And you smoke it. It's like, I always give this example of this doctor, that this guy comes to him smoking, and he's showing a picture of a lung, black. Says, cigarettes will kill you, have to stop smoking. So and he's frightened, he's going outside, like trembling, wow, I'm going to die. Then, and then there is the smoking corner, who is smoking there? The doctor. He says, doctor, you just now saw me. I said, I'm not a doctor. What do you mean I'm not a doctor? What, you're stupid or something? You know it. You can know a lot of things. But the thing is, what do you do about it? What's the action? The only one who did the right action is Yitro. Yitro heard, understood, that's it, that's God. I'm coming to Am Yisrael. In other words, when we listen to something, we have to be very careful, and let's say sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone. What can we do? And we talked about it a lot, about the comfort zone. People can be in a very bad position, but they're used to it and they want change. Doesn't matter what you offer them. You can offer them the best job in the world and they still, you know what, I'll think about it. What do you have to think? You're in a terrible position. I'm giving you an offer much better than what you're doing today. And he thinks, and what do you think he's doing the next day when he comes and wants our answer? What is the answer? I'll stay where I am. And it happens every day. And it happens also with us, with a small decision and big decision. We sometimes have to change things in life. We know it's going to be better, but because we're used to a certain thing, we go on with it. This is Vayishma Yitro. That's the idea of listening. And this is why Na'aseh v'nishma is not written in our parsha, but in the next parsha when we're talking about the Mishpatim. Because, okay, you heard the Sefer Dibrot. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do anything with it? Are you going to do the mitzvahs? Or to try and learn the mitzvahs, what it's all about? And that's the whole idea. You can listen and listen and listen. I heard it. Yeah, okay. Go on. You can hear it and go against it. Or you can do what Yitro did. And it's very interesting also when we look at the Ten Commandments. There is something I didn't notice till this year. Kabed et avicha ve et imecha, what kind of mitzvah is this? Ben adam l'makom or ben adam l'chaveru? What do you think? What is this mitzvah, kabed et avicha ve et imecha? Is it a mitzvah between us and a human being, or is it a mitzvah between us and God? What do you think?
It's in between.
What?
Each.
Little bit of each. Well, where should it be? In the right side or the left side? It is in the right side. The right side is mitzvot ben adam lamakom. It's not in the left side, which is mitzvot ben adam lechavero. Why? By the way, something very interesting. If you look at all the mitzvot ben adam lamakom, you will find the name of God, which you would not find when you look at the other side of the mitzvot ben adam lechavero. It's not that they're not from God. They're all from God. But the Torah makes the definition. Those mitzvahs are... Here, let's see it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Very simple. God is there. לא תשתחווה לו תעבדי, כי אנוכי השם אלוקיך אל קנה ופוקד וכן עבוד ומלווינו וכו'. לא תישא את שם השם אלוקיך לשד, כי לא ינקה השם אלוקיך. זכור את יום השבת הקדשו, ששת ימים תבשת קומתך, ונשביע שבת להשם אלוקיך. כי ששת ימים עשה השם שמים את הארץ, אלוקיך, 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 דן, כבד את אביך ואת אמך למען יחוי עמך, למה אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך. In other words, the definition is very simple. This is a mitzvah שבן אדם למקום. What is the Torah trying to tell us? And by the way, if you want to be sure. The next commandment: Lo tachmod b'edrecha, lo tachmod eshtrecha, ve'avdo me'otor shov v'chomor shel erev chol amrit. But there is nothing. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo taneh. God is not mentioned. In other words, those are mitzvot shebin adam lechaveru. So the Torah itself makes a definition between mitzvot shebin adam lamakom u'mitzvot shebin adam lechaveru. Okay. Now let's see why is kabel tavicha v'temecha mitzvah shebin adam lamakom. I saw it last week in the book. What's it called? This book that we have a daily learning. What's the Ten Chelkein? It's very. I talked about it in shul also. It's very interesting because there are two partners in the creation of a human being, and they are father and mother and God. In other words, they are partners of God. So if you honor your father and mother, you're really honoring who? God. Now, why do I honor my father and mother? Because they brought me to this world, because they educated me, because they raised me and they gave me. That's the reason?
No, I'm commanded.
The reason is very simple. Mitzvah shebin adam lamakom. That's the reason. You have to honor your parents not because of what they gave you, but because they are partners of God. In other words, this is mitzvah shebin adam lamakom. By the way, all the mitzvahs, if we're already talking about, are mitzvot shebin adam lamakom, mitzvot shebin adam lachavero, it's the same thing. Because what did Rabbi Akiva say? Ve'ahavta lerecha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'torah. And said Rabbi Hillel, ze kol ha-torah kula, ma she-sanu alecha, al ta'aseh lechaverecha. In very simple words, loving your fellow is really the base of everything, of all the mitzvahs. Also of kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, lo tisad Hashem elokecha lashav. All those things are in, let's say, you can put them in one thing. And this ish be'emunato yechye. What is ish be'emunato yechye? It's not like people talking the street, I can do whatever I want, this is my belief. No, ish be'emunato, tzadik be'emunato yechye. The tzadik lives because he believes in God. That's the only belief there is. And to believe in God, this is meaning I love my brothers. When I love my brothers, I love God, as we said. Now, the mishpatim come, and when we talk about the mishpatim, and we have to now, Na'aseh v'nishma. What is Na'aseh v'nishma? This is in Gemara, the famous Gemara that says about this rabbi sitting on his fingers and learning Torah, and this guy comes to him, this guy, and says to him, Yudaiti p'shai, you are stupid Jews. He says, why are you stupid? You stupid Jews, you said Na'aseh v'nishma. Who in this world says, first of all, I'm going to do, then I want to listen. I'll listen. Do you know somebody who does those? So you want me something to do? Okay, tell me what you want me to do, and then I will do it. If I like it, if I don't like it, I won't do it. But here, Am Yisrael is saying, Na'aseh v'nishma. And by the way, if we already say Na'aseh, as is written in our parasha of Shabbos, so why do we need Nishma? If they're already saying Na'aseh, okay, what we don't, doesn't matter what you say. We're going to do everything. So Na'aseh is enough, but Na'aseh. That's the way it's written with the Ten Commandments. But Na'aseh v'nishma means, in order to do, you have, we say it also before Shema, Lilmod ulelamed lishmor velasot. You have to learn, you have to teach, and you have to keep, and you have to do. Otherwise, you didn't do the whole thing. In other words, learning, you have to learn in order to teach others and also to do it. If you don't do it, what's the idea? But in order to do it, you cannot do anything if you don't learn it. So this is Na'aseh v'nishma. You need Nishma there because you have to listen. And that's why Na'aseh v'nishma is written in the Mishpatim. Because in the Mishpatim we're starting to get a little picture about what we have to do. By the way, interesting question is those things in Mishpatim, are those all the laws? Of course not. So why were those special laws being chosen to be the laws of Mishpatim right after Matan Torah? You would think that the Torah will choose what mitzvahs? Mitzvot shebin adam lamakom. Mitzvahs that are unique to the Am Yisrael. For example, Brit Milah, Mezuzah, Tefillin, all those things that are unique to Am Yisrael. But when we look at the Parsha, most of the things written in the Parsha are talking about normal human behavior. To have a normal society, you need those things. You need to know those things. It's Nizakim. Everything is talking about damages and things that are normal things. So why? Why is the Torah starting with this?
Because without that, you can't do that. You need to have the basic thing. can't light Hanukkah candles if you don't have normal
But if I want to tell you, you are a special person, you have a special job, what would I start to tell you? First of all, I would start, what is your special job? What is the difference between you and others? By the way, Aruch Haim HaKadosh says a very interesting thing. He says, those mitzvahs in our parsha, those are mitzvahs that each one of us has to know them. Because you have a rabbi, so you can ask the rabbi questions. But you cannot run to the rabbi on everything that you have got. Every small problem, you run to the rabbi. That's not the idea. The idea is you have to learn the basics, the basic behaviors, the basic things of our tradition, of our Torah. And then if you have any problems, you go and ask the rabbi. So in other words, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that the mitzvahs in our parsha are uniquely to each one of us, that we have to learn them and know them. All the other mitzvahs that are not written in the parsha, you have to learn also. But if you didn't, you can always ask the rabbi. But you cannot go to the rabbi for everything. That's one interesting question, by the way, that is answering the way you want to answer, which is all right. It's okay. It's 100%. But still, there is a problem. Why? Because do you think, really, that our laws are the laws of the goyim? Do you think? The Torah is saying, the Gemara says very clearly, you're not allowed to go a bet mishpat shel goyim, even if it looks the same. You're not allowed. By the way, also today, you have to know, if you want to go to a normal court, you have to, first of all, that's the halacha. Yes, I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not to do. The first thing, if you want to sue somebody, you have to sue him through Beis Din. And then, if the Beis Din cannot deal with him, then you can go to a normal court. Of course, if somebody invites you from a normal court, you have to go. That's a different thing. But if you are the one who wants to sue somebody else, if you are, let's say, a God-fearing Jew, the first thing you have to do, you don't go to court, normal court, you go to Beis Din. And you call him for a mishpat in the Beis Din. And then, if it doesn't work, he doesn't want to come, or whatever, then you can go to a normal court. Unfortunately, we are so used to the normal court that we go. But this is exactly what the Torah is talking about. Why? If somebody stole 200 shekels, from somebody. Wherever I will go, he will have to give back the 200 shekel. That's obvious. So what's the problem? Why can't he go to the goyim? Because one reason is, you don't elevate the law of the goyim above the law of the Torah. That's one reason. The second reason is, if you really think that the laws of the Torah are the same as the laws of the goyim, you're mistaken. There is nothing to compare, because you really don't know. For example, when you're talking about somebody killed somebody. Every one of us, if any time in his life he learned about rotzeach and how you bring him to court, understand and realize it's almost impossible to bring somebody that killed somebody else and bring him to court and find him guilty. Because there are so many factors that you have to that are involved. And by the way, it's also, this thing is also logical, because we all know about people, they were they were found guilty, and then after 20 years some new thing came out and they were innocent. Sometimes it was too late, because in certain countries in the world, if somebody kills somebody and he is guilty, they kill him. Sometimes he sits for life in jail, so then he lost, let's say, 20 years, 30 years, but then he goes free. But this just shows you that we, in our own eyes, we don't see everything. That's why the Torah, about killing somebody, is very precise. It has to be in a certain way. You have to see it. You have to have two witnesses. You have to warn him. Even if you see somebody running after somebody in, let's say, a small shade, and there is nobody there, and you find him, the guy dead, and the other guy standing with a knife, you still cannot do anything about it. So what's going to happen? What's efkerut? No, don't worry. It's written also in Parashat Mishpatim. Ki lo atzdik et harasha. Don't worry, God will find a way to punish. We believe in God. We know that God runs the world, and God will find a way to punish somebody who did something wrong, or to justify somebody who didn't do anything wrong. God is on top of everything. So God, when God tells us the Mishpatim, we have to obey our Mishpatim and go to our Beis Din and not to the Goyim Beis Din. Even though it looks the same. For example, when we're talking about Eved Ivri, it's also a lot of deep things. Do we have Eved Ivri today? Do we have Eved Ivri? No. So, but the Torah is for eternity. So what is the Torah telling us about Eved Ivri if there is no Eved Ivri? We are all slaves. If you don't know it, I'm going to tell you. We're all slaves. Slaves of the bank. Slaves of the going to vacation. Slaves of the culture. Slaves of a lot of things. If you think about it. In other words, everybody, look in the mirror, you see a slave. So what is the idea behind Eved Ivri? What is Eved Ivri? By the way, Eved Ivri, he says, the Gemara, if somebody buys an Eved Ivri, kana adon latzmo. He didn't buy a slave, he bought a master to himself. What does it mean? If you have one cushion, who is going to sleep with the cushion? Your slave. If you have one steak, who is going to eat the steak? The slave. In other words, it's really, so who is going to buy a Hebrew slave? Who? Who wants a master on himself? Who is going to buy an Hebrew slave? By the way, not allowed to do everything within what you want. If this guy is, for example, a gardener, you can only give him gardening stuff. You cannot give him anything else. You also cannot give him a job with no end. In other words, you go to the market and you tell him, you do this till I come back. You're not allowed to do this. You have to give him a time. Because who knows when you're going to come back? In other words, who do you think is going to take a Hebrew slave? Who? A tzaddik. Because what's the idea of a Hebrew slave? Normally somebody that the court sold him because he stole, didn't have money, and then the Beis Din is selling him as a slave in order to get the money back. But the idea is that somebody will take him and will educate him. Unfortunately, today in jail also, people getting educated, but in a different way. Especially our cousins getting a very good education how to be better terrorists. But that's not the idea in Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, when Eved Ivri, the idea is you take a slave, you show him how a Jew lives. You show him the good life, going in the right way. And then, when he learns this, then he can go free, because you cannot have him forever. It's only 7 years. And also after that, if he wants to stay, it's only to the Yovel. In other words, a Hebrew slave, at a certain time, he will go free. And when he goes free, he will go with something that he got from the master that he had. Because normally this master is going to be a tzaddik. Because no other guy with a normal mind will take somebody that instead of being his slave, he's going to be his slave. Unless he really wants to fix things and do them in the right way.
That was the case that Yirmiyahu was complaining about the way the Jews had treated their slaves.
Unfortunately,
you may have been saying that, but that wasn't in practice.
That's what I said in the beginning. You listen, but you have also to do what you hear. It's not enough to listen. It's not like lishmoa te mishpatim. You have to do them. Unfortunately, we didn't be exactly, let's say, a sample of doing things in the right way. But we have to learn in order to try, each one of us to try to better ourselves. And this is the idea of why the Torah is starting with a Hebrew slave, also because there is nobody free. Because everybody is, in a certain way, a slave. But you can choose to be a slave of who? For example, let's imagine that somebody comes to you and tells you, you know what? I am going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you a big house. I'm going to give you a car for each one of your family. I'm going to build you a library with all the best books. I'm going to give you all the best food. I'm going to give you, don't have to worry about anything. The only thing I want you is, you be my slave. You do what I want. So in the beginning you said, wow, I don't want to be a slave of nobody. But then, he explains to you, you know what I mean by you being my slave? Whatever you do, it's not for me. It's for you. So what do you say to a guy like this? Would you take it or not? Sure, what? Menucha, I go, I've got a house, I've got everything I need. The only thing I have to do is what he tells me to do. And what he tells me to do is only for my own benefit. In other words, the best thing that you can have. This is exactly the idea of Eved Ivri. If you be an Eved of God, this is the real free man. Because then, everything you do in life is only for the best and only for the good, because God is your Father. He loves you. And whatever he tells you to do is only for the best. For you. And whatever you